Sox.
Go, go,
go, go.
Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago is proud of you.
This is White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
And a very pleasant good afternoon, White Sox Weekly on the air. Harry Tynowitz wearing his Loyola Rambler color shirts, and the White Sox supporting as well, as is the whole city. We got baseball, and we'll sneak in a little love for the Ramblers as well. 4 days, 20 hours, 35 minutes, 16, 15, 14, 13.
Till you next kiss a girl?
Till I next kiss a girl, or more likely, opening day at the Kansas City Royals this Thursday. We're going to talk to Joel Goldberg, who covers the Royals at about 5:08 and 30 seconds today as part of our White Sox Weekly. Matt Davidson's going to be on the show. Ed Farmer in 10 minutes. And our friend Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago right after 4 o'clock. You're Harry Tynowitz.
Yes, I am. He's at the Carm. I'm HeyTweet Harry. Go ahead and tweet us. We will talk to you that way, or you could text us. We'll talk to you that way, right, Carm?
Yeah, absolutely. At the Carm, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to text us, we have some interactive features for you today on the show. We'll get to that in a bit. Yes, Harry? I see you pointing. I see
well,
you wanting.
I think... You know, the plan with the White Sox, this is year two of the rebuild. So the plan with the White Sox is to get great in a couple of seasons. But you look at what the Loyola Ramblers are doing.
Oh.
And they are about, you know, they're just, you know, I mean, in what, about 4 hours, they could be going to the Final Four. So crazy things can happen. James Shields says, hey, this team could win it right now. Remember, James Shields was on Tampa when they finished last. And then the next season, boom. They're going to the World Series.
I'm a never say die, certainly not before you even open the season guy. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And by the way, today's a somewhat important day as we wrap up spring training. White Sox are leading the Dodgers 4-3.
The Dodgers,
4-3. They're in the fifth. Why is this interesting today, Harry? Well, Carson Fulmer is facing the Rangers today in a minor league game that starts at 3 o'clock. And Hector Santiago is starting against the Dodgers. So that is the battle for your fifth starter. Now, I would bet a lot of money that Carson Fulmer is going to get that spot. But today is sort of the final salvo in who's going to be pitching come the regular season in that fifth slot.
Well, the first 90% of spring training, you know, Santiago was the better guy. And White Sox fans know him, of course. He started his career here. He was very, very good pitcher for the Sox for a while. But Carson Fulmer started out the season, and he just wasn't great. I mean, I love the guy. How do you not love the guy? I mean, he's a cool guy, and the Sox do a good job with their, drafting pitchers first. You know, Chris Sale, very productive. Jim Parquet, although he took a bad rap, Jim Parquet was very productive for this team. And I think Carson Fulmer could be something. Certainly reason to believe, because the end of last season, I think, is the Carson Fulmer you're going to end up with, not the beginning Carson Fulmer or the Carson Fulmer from the prior season. But, yeah, I think the White Sox want Fulmer to be in the rotation.
Well, and yes, if the White Sox can get the Carson Fulmer at the end of last season when in six appearances he had an ERA of 1.64,
it's not bad.
17 and a third innings. Yes, the White Sox would very, very much take that. Hector Santiago, to me, he just seems like a swing guy right now. He's been pitching out of the bullpen mostly in spring training. He's got one start, now two today. So I think that's a guy who you put in your bullpen, guys struggle, he comes in fourth, fifth inning, picks you up. And look, it is a development year, at least for now. Things can change very rapidly. You get off to a great start. I think, look, you want to see what Carson Fulmer is, and you don't want to base things on spring training. To me, you put him in the rotation and you let him roll, and hopefully he pitches great. And if he doesn't, well, then you can figure things out from there. That's how I would go about it.
Yeah, and you know, it's all about to happen. And you know, it's funny they're starting in Kansas City, because Kansas City for a while was this young team, and now the Royals are one of the older teams in baseball.
That's true, too, and which is, it's a very interesting comparison, the White Sox and the Royals. And the Royals, they allowed their prospects to come to the majors. They allowed them to play and to struggle, and then they added on some veteran presences, and then they went to the World Series in 2014.
Is presences a word? Is presence a word that we can pluralize?
You know what, Harry? It's 3:39 on a Saturday afternoon. Feels above my pay grade to really dive into a presence right now.
I mean, if I give you a Christmas present or a Hanukkah present, and I give you more than one, we could pluralize that.
Those would be presents.
But I don't know. Do we? And I don't have the answer necessarily.
I feel like somebody else just jumped into your chair and and is in your body right now. This is not a normal question that you would ask.
No, it's not a normal question I would ask.
But I appreciate your unpredictability. Don't get me wrong.
A normal question for the sixth time this week, I'm going to ask: what's the new food going to be at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Well,
that's what we need to do on White Sox Weekly is break down the food that's going to be up for on the bill of fare.
Well, stay tuned for Brooks Boyer joining the program next week, so there's that. And we can certainly talk about, if you would like, at some point today, Revolution Brewing and the White Sox creating an outstanding partnership, which we're going to have a nice, sweet, branded bar down the left field line at Guaranteed Rate Field. And I personally of course, I will be working very hard, so I will not be able to partake, perhaps, but the Sox Social Lounge and Revolution Brewing coming to the Sox Social Tap Room. This is going to be amazing. So, and I loved Brooks Boyer's quote earlier this week. I'm not breaking any news here, but White Sox fans like to drink. And we've heard over and over that people appreciate a wider selection.
Yep, they do.
Yes, so that's a beautiful thing. Hey, let's get Ed Farmer in here. So we'll take a quick time out, bring in the radio play-by-play voice of your Chicago White Sox. He is coming up next on White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
Infield up at first and third. Double play at short and second. As Rose, it's a bouncer down to Randolph. Willie over to Yount, one, and back to first. Double play. So Rose hits into a double play to end it, but here in the sixth inning, the National League comes up with a couple of runs.
Who got that ground ball there, Harry Tynowitz?
Well, we didn't hear it, but it was Ed Farmer induced Charlie Hustle to hit into an inning-ending double play.
That, I don't know if Ed Farmer remembers that. I'm guessing he does, White Sox radio play-by-play voice. Is that exactly how you envisioned that pitch ending up there, Ed? Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Fastball. It was not that I remembered it, but it was a high fastball center home plate, and Rose never forgot it when I joined the Phillies. He goes, I swung at a pitch that I didn't want to. I said, I guess I made you do that. Is that what you're blaming me? And he started laughing. He goes, no, I thought it was good to hit. What wasn't said was how great of a double play Randolph started. Because the ball was hit on two hops. The second hop betrayed him a little bit. He shoveled it to Yount backhanded. And Robin flat-footed doubled up Rose at first base. Flat-footed, did not take a strike, just flipped it over there and got him.
Yeah, he was
tremendous player.
Pretty good ball player.
Yeah, one of my close friends was at my wedding with Dempsey and a couple other guys. And yeah, Robin and I go back a long time. I played with him. He came, lived with me in Puerto Rico when he was 18 years old. And I went, this guy's ready to play in the big leagues. He's already been there and he's 18.
Yeah. That makes me wonder, and I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse here or whatever, but it makes me think, could. Because Rob Meow was such a unique guy, shortstop to turn into an outfielder, and I'm like, could Tim Anderson do something like that down the line if need be? I feel like he certainly has the athletic ability to do it. I mean, who else, Ed, you would know better than me, off the top of your head, who's made that transition as well as Robin Yount did in his career?
Lori Garcia right now with us.
Well, there's one.
Fourth outfielder.
He goes out there and plays from the bench. He goes out and plays center field. He's got above average throwing arm. Accuracy, I'm not sure of. I haven't seen him that much in center. But he could play anywhere in the infield, anywhere in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I remember was the guy with Atlanta. Was a catcher. All of a sudden,
Bruce Benedict?
Back. Yeah. No, not Bruce.
Dale Benedict. Murphy.
Dale Murphy, you got it. And he had a problem throwing the ball back to the pitcher. So they moved him to center field.
which isn't good. Fermio, you were an all-star closer representing the you represented the White Sox in the all-star game, and I want to know about the closer situation for the Pale Hose heading into the 2018 season.
I don't think it's been defined yet. I mean, you've got Soria out there in the bullpen. have Farquhar out there in the bullpen. You have a host of guys. And the Royals have changed the landscape of that when he took over 79 with the White Sox, using a bridge, using a closer. And his first year there, I threw 119 innings out of the bullpen. Man. And then we moved it. He changed the dynamics of the bullpen. Now, it wasn't a pitch count so much then. It was whether or not you were going to use a reliever in the fifth, sixth, seventh. I mean, with Billy Martin, he went to John Hiller in Detroit one day in the third or fourth inning in Texas. He pitched the rest of the game. And Hiller was a great stopper with the Tigers. And it was defined. And then La Russa did the same thing with Eckersley in Oakland. The guy who got from the Cubs, I believe it was from the Cubs to the Oakland A's, 87 or 88. And the starting role was filled with guys like Dave Stewart. And they had guys, and he put them in there out of the bullpen. And Eckersley responded. They didn't. It was like he was knocking down statues, just rolling a ball at them, and they were making outs. And then put him in the Hall of Fame. Dennis Eckersley in the Hall of Fame.
He was an awesome closer, except when he had to face Kirk Gibson in the World Series.
Yeah, you know, I asked. I thought Scully's called Mr. Vince Scully had the call. He goes, "This is the roll of the dice." Here. I mean, Gibby couldn't walk right.
Right.
And I said to him, "What was the toughest part of that at bat?" He goes, "Running the bases."
And now his son
could get around the bases.
And now Gibby's son is in the Tigers organization. Probably be up sometime this year.
Yeah.
Not surprising. I mean, you know, I've known Kirk a long time. We've had battles, and he's battling a health issue right now. And he's just a great guy. He's a great competitor. That's what you want. No gray area. It's me against you. Let's go to work. And Gibson's one of the first guys come over and shake your hand and say, "Congratulations, you beat me." And you know that he's thinking, next time, you're not going to be so fortunate. He didn't want that. When he hit that ball, Scully goes, "In a year where the impossible happens, the improbable happens tonight." I mean, please, he couldn't walk.
All right, so give us one name. If you had to bet, which White Sox pitcher will have the most saves this season, who are you betting on?
That's a tough question. You know, I've only seen 9 games over there. We really haven't defined the role yet. I'd be hard-pressed not to. I haven't seen Soria pitch, so I know what he can do. Manaea pitched well out of the bullpen last year also.
Go with Nate Jones.
Jones, I'm not sure about how healthy he is. Certainly has thrown good this spring. I mean, we sent a kid down the other day to the minor leagues. He's got a microscopic arm run average, but he's not ready yet. When he gets ready, I mean, the amount of talent is coming that we think we have, and it's a tip of the cap to Williams and also Rakan. They've done a great job with this, as everybody has, scouting these individuals. The Kopech's on the rise. I mean, we got to see Cease the other day, and a week ago, Friday, about 10 days ago, and he handled the Mariners like it was ridiculous. He had an overhand curveball, fastball was jumping, changeup was great. You know, for him, he was 1-10 last year on 2 minor league stops at South Bend and Kannapolis. I said, "How were you 0-8? I mean, he was 0-8 at Kannapolis. And his stuff is, and he had an earned run average of 3-something. He was 1-10, a combined earned run average. So something wasn't wrong with that. When I saw him pitch, I went, "This guy's got big talent." We've talked, barely scratched the surface with him. This guy's ready to go. We sent him down. And they'll be up. It's just a question of when and who they push out of the way.
Yeah. The great Ed Farmer with us here on White Sox Weekly. Mark Harmon and Harry Tynotes with you till 5:30, 7:20 WGN. I mean, when you look at so much talent coming, and I just wondering what are your expectations for this year, Ed? I mean, as you go into it, it's a long baseball season. You get off to a good start, guys come up. I mean, I don't see any reason why you want to not say that they couldn't surprise. But how are you looking at it?
I'm looking at it this way, Mark, and I think that's a valid question. White Sox fans, we're crawling right now. I mean, I set a goal of we want to win every game, and you do. You have to also be a realist that they're not going to win every game. something's going to happen. And I hate to disappoint the people who think we're going to win every game, but you play 162 regular season games. Somewhere along the line, you're going to lose. I got to see how we bounce back after a losing streak of 5 or 7, and hopefully it won't be that long. But a losing streak of 7 games, how they perform, what they do, and how they turn things around. They're getting very disciplined in spring training, running the bases and backing up bases. When you go to see the White Sox play this year, you're going to see motion of baseball that few people see. The backup of second base on a throw there by the right fielder from a throw from the third baseman and the second baseman to start a double play. Right fielder is running in from right field just in case the ball gets by. And he's going to be right there. They think about taking the extra base. They're not cognizant of the fact that he's going to be there. They take off and they're going to be out. That's what Renteria has brought to this program. I don't care how you get it done, but I want everybody hustling. I don't want you loafing. And if you feel sorry for yourself and you loaf, they'll take you right out of the game immediately. He's done it this spring.
Yep.
So the discipline of that runs echoes. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're going to play as a unit. And units, when they grow, Houston Astros, they run the World Series in 05, and we beat them 4 straight. They didn't do one thing wrong in the World Series. Every game was one run that we won. Now they come back last year with kids that they grew through their organization. And we're doing the things that we traded for them. Now they're in our organization. We want them to respond almost like the Houston Astros, maybe even better. So what realistic view, I would say you try to win every game. If you're 500 at the end of the season, I think that's a huge jump.
It would be, no doubt. And
that's what you have to look at.
Yeah, and well, and
learning how to play.
And seeing the guys, especially that you want to see grow along the way, I mean, that would be an awesome year. Ed, you're talking
it's
about
amazing.
Fun. Go ahead.
It's amazing. I mean, my thing is this. Say the 13 players are, and ahead of Eloy Jimenez, as far as what I've seen in spring training. I mean, he had two home runs last week. One of them went at almost 500 feet. I mean, it was a no-doubter. People try to catch those balls usually. One of them in the bullpen the next time up, guys had their gloves on and didn't want to get in the way of it. It was a laser beam shot to right field into the bullpen at Camelback Ranch. But the one before that, they cleared all the fences of our ballpark. Forget about the fence, the linear fence inside the dimensions of this field. I'm talking about the walkways behind that fire office building. It went over everything. So those things we want, those are the guys. If you have 13 of those guys, which they say we do, if you get half of them to the big leagues, that's half your ball club on the field. That's huge. But they go through different transitions. They get hurt. Some guys don't come back. Berger got hurt with an Achilles. We want him to come back healthy again. We want him to be the guy that he was what we saw. And we don't want him to be injured and cost him his time at the big league level ever. So we want to get him rehabbed, get him back on the field healthy, and then turn it. But there's guys who just don't get it. They get there and they've got all the ability in the world. It just doesn't turn out. Hopefully we won't have those guys. Hey, the guys who want to play at the big league level and win.
Fermio, before we bid you adieu, Nicky Delmonico last year had an on-base percentage of .373. I swear to God, I thought it was like .800. Every game I watched, the guy was on base. Tell us something. Is this guy as good as he looked last year?
He waits on the ball. He waits on the ball. His hands are in a very strong position. There's not a lot of wasted movement. Meaning he's not moving his upper body, gliding towards the pitcher. His swing is all swings, good ones. They start with generation of the lower body first. His hands are in a strong position. Yesterday, I think he had a double down the left field line, and he just reached out and just slapped at the left field. Last year when he came up, I think he reached base 12 or 13 consecutive games, either by a hit or walk, but he was on base. And he can hit. There's one thing that I know all my life. I know when a guy has a great swing, he's got a great swing. So, yeah, I thought he had an on-base percentage like a 750. But it's hard to believe, but he can hit. That's a fact.
Ed Farmer, always great to talk to you. It's a back-to-back week for us, so we really appreciate it. How about those?
Be anytime you want. We're on tomorrow.
Yes.
It's a 2 o'clock start. That means it's noon in Arizona tomorrow. So it's 2 o'clock start on WGN Radio, on the Sox Radio Network. And hopefully tomorrow we're going to host the Brewers, and they're going to have Braun in the lineup because they're really strong. They got a good ball club with Yelich and Wright,
yep,
and also Lorenzo Cain in center. That's just a couple of the guys. They played great last year.
Right, and Lorenzo Cain in center for Milwaukee makes the White Sox stronger.
That's a fit. He's a great player.
Yeah.
He's a great player. I mean, and Braun is great at first base, hitting wise home runs. They're going to put some points on the board. Make no mistake about that.
You're not bad to have Lorenzo Cain out of the AL Central and a couple other Royals too, Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
Farmio.
Keep it going.
Yep. Farmio, you're the best. Go watch the Ramblers today. You gonna check them out?
Root for Loyola right now, okay?
There you go.
Yeah. Get to the Elite Eight.
Yes.
It's hard to believe, Perry, because as you know, it's 9 versus 11, I think, today.
You're right.
And they're in the Elite Eight. It doesn't work numerically. You're the Elite Eight, but you're ranked 9th and 11th. How does that work?
I think it has something to do with time change.
George Ireland would be rolling around right now, the ex-coach at Loyola. I think he took him way deep in that NCAA tournament in the 60s.
Right. The question is, Fermio, next year, who gets offered more money by a different university, Porter Moser or Sister Jean?
Yeah, okay. Fermio, we'll hear you tomorrow.
Okay, take care, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Our pleasure. Ed Farmer, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago White Sox. We need to get a quick timeout in here. 720 WGN.
Ball and a strike. Davidson drills it. Left center field. No matter where it lands, it's over. It's gone. Davidson plays hero 3-1. See you later.
Walk-off winner against the Indians, Matt Davidson, who's going to be joining us on White Sox Weekly at 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carmen. Harry Tynowitz along as we go until 5:30 ahead of Blackhawks hockey. The Blackhawks and the New York Islanders tonight is the season winding down there. And, of course, the Ramblers tip off 1 hour from now. Very excited to see Loyola hopefully get through today against Kansas State. You know, their guards, Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson, they're both from Overland Park, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever mentioned I worked in Kansas City. Overland Park, fine suburb. And these kids, you know, grew up Big 12 land, right?
Right. Watching. Now they're playing K-State.
Now they're playing K-State to go to the Final Four. How cool is that?
My freshman year, my roommate was from Overland Park.
Is that right?
Yep. And then I switched, and I got a guy from Gladstone Mo.
Was the Overland Park guy a member of the tribe?
No.
He wasn't?
No,
okay.
No.
Well, it's a very big member of the tribe community around Kansas City.
The Gladstone, Missouri guy, yeah. John Spotswood, was the star of the baseball team, and I had his fake ID.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like a freshman. I'm 5'9", 200-something. And baseball season starts, and this guy's got the longest hitting streak in the country. And people in the bars have known me as John Spotswood now for like 7 months. So, like, he would get, like, a hit his last time up. They go, hey, John, were you trying to get a home run? And I go, no, I was just trying to, you know, get on board. Like, you really think I'm a baseball player? Okay.
You had that presence, Harry. I bet you walked into the bar. Mm-hmm. You had that athletic strut to you. No? That didn't go on?
I did have a strut.
Hey, Harry, the 2018 ballpark pass is on sale for a limited time only. You can get access to 36 home games, 36 of these, in April, May, and September. That excludes opening day and the Cubs series, but 36 games for just, do you remember?
$126.
Passes.
How can that be?
It's a great deal. Passes available through your MLB ballpark app. You can get more information at whitesox.com/pass. And you can download the MLB Ballpark app through the App Store today.
Someone like borrowed from the wrong column on that one.
Yeah,
they're like giving you they're paying you. I mean, that's way too good a deal to be true.
You go to all the games, it's $4 a game.
$4 a game?
You go to, say, 10 games, it'd be $12.60 a game.
I'm suddenly confused.
Just doing the math here for you. All right, so Matt Davidson, we're waiting on him, who's going to join us here. He's had a great spring.
Yeah, 19 ribs.
Yep, leads the team in RBIs. He's got a triple, he's got three doubles, he's got four homers. He leads the team in walks as well, which I think is a huge stat for Matt Davidson. He has struck out 19 times. I think that's a big, if Matt Davidson is going to become what the White Sox want him to become, cutting down on the strikeouts is part of it. But, you know, on the other side of it, if you're hitting home runs like you did last year, 26 of them, second best of all rookies behind Aaron Judge, not too bad.
Yeah, Judge fellow is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all. So we'll hopefully have Matt on in a moment. So I'd like to discuss with you, Harry, what is going on with the White Sox in center field. Ryan Cordell,
yes,
who had a very good spring, was sent down to AAA this week.
Yes, he had a very good spring.
So that was Cordell, if you don't know, came over from the Brewers in the Anthony Swarzak deal, hit .317 this spring, .417 on base, 8 RBIs, 41 at-bats, don't want to overthink things in spring training. And Adam Engel is going to be your starting center fielder. He's also had a phenomenal spring with the...
41.
What's that?
41, yeah, Adam Engel.
Right, exactly. And OPS for Adam Engel this spring, 1,127, which is ridiculous. Plus, this is a guy who plays great defense. But Ryan Cordell could be up here. And then you also... you're sitting there with Charlie Tilson in AAA if he gets healthy. And then there's this guy, Luis Robert, who won't most likely be here this year. Going to start out at single A when he gets
hurt
healthy.
Hurt right now.
And hurt right now with the thumb injury for, 2 months to 10 weeks, something like that. But you got a lot of guys who can play in the middle of the outfield. So, if Adam Engel doesn't play well, he's not going to be out there. I'm assuming that he'll get, 2 months to prove himself. But there's just a lot of options for the White Sox. And I think Cordell did very well from this spring, even though he's going to start out at AAA.
Hey, well, I'm really excited about Nicky Delmonico on left. Avi Garcia, finally had the year last year that Sox fans have been waiting for. And I feel like Avi Garcia will just get better. That wasn't a fluke. He's not going to Brady Anderson it. He's going to be that good a player and find himself. Some guys get confidence and they move forward. So center field is the question mark. Now, Adam Engel, I thought, was mostly all glove, no stick, but he's showing offense. Charlie Tilson just can't catch a break health-wise. And I want the guy to do well. Neutral guy, but he's had, a couple of big, bad injuries.
Yeah, and he's starting out at AAA. Rakan talked about this because they'd like to see him get out there every day, get his feet under him, so to speak, get some confidence rolling, and then they can figure out what's going on in center field if there's a need, if there's not. And hopefully he can prove that he can stay on the field. Cordell, by the way, the one thing that should be mentioned, last year he had a back injury, which so he didn't play the final 2 months, so he's also another guy that's getting healthy. Which, the White Sox have had a bunch of just injuries this spring, which has been disappointing. I mean, Jake Berger at the top of that list. But they also have guys like this
Jake
coming
Jake Berger
back.
One is tough. But nobody on the DL to start the season. Other guy, boy, the big news yesterday, Madison Bumgarner, who the day before he crushed a 400, and he's a very, very good hitting pitcher. He's just a stud at the plate. Crushed a 455-foot homer on Thursday. Yesterday, got hit on the hand trying to field a ball, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yep, and Jeff Samardzija went on the DL too. So Giants, a couple of injuries. San Francisco's a team that could actually surprise this year. Hey, opening weekend just around the corner. Join us April 5th to the 8th at Guaranteed Rate Field. How awesome is that? As your White Sox take on their division rivals, the Detroit Tigers, in the 2018 home debut. Harry and I will be out there. There will be some great promotions and giveaways all weekend long. Visit WhiteSox.com to get your tickets today. Let's take a quick time out. Hopefully I'll have Matt Davidson coming on back here. 720 WGN.
WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, indeed. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. We're with you till 5:30. We're flipping around. We thought we were going to have Matt Davidson. We didn't get Matt Davidson. We're going to have him at 4:35, and we really appreciate NBC Sports Chicago's Chuck Garfine for being so flexible and just jumping right in there. Chuck, you're nimble. You're flexible. You're amazing.
Oh, this is Matt Davidson.
Well, Chuck slash Matt, how are you looking at this season for yourself there? Because a lot of people have some high expectations. I'm wondering if you can, you know, if you're going to feel comfortable being DHing more than being in the field.
I'm going to hit 50 home runs this year. I'm going to drive in 150 runs as well. I'm going to bat 330, and I'm going to draw 100 walks. What do you think about that?
I like
that. That's awesome. That would be great, that plate discipline. Who do you think is the best baseball person on television in Chicago, Matt?
Easily Chuck Garfine. I have never seen a better sportscaster, a sports writer, just better person or human being than Chuck Garfine. So I think that's my answer.
I heard that Chuck sat down with Ozzie Guillen. He's going to be, and there's going to be a podcast available of Chuck and Ozzie. What do you think Chuck asked Ozzie, and perhaps got some interesting tidbits from the former White Sox skipper?
Yeah, I think I'm done with my Matt Davidson impression.
Man, it felt like he was right here in the room with us.
I mean, we were there. You talked to Ozzie, man. How'd it go?
It went great. So great, we had to put it into two podcasts. So the first one is out right now. And, you know, in that first one, he went in depth about why he hasn't gotten a managing job since 2012 and what he's learned and if that'll ever happen again, whether he will be a manager in the future. And we talked a lot about Sammy Sosa.
Interesting.
And why there turned out to be a lot of Cubs talk indirectly in this conversation because, he feels like, you know, Chicago has slighted him and turned his back on him and on Sammy Sosa. But at the same time, I feel like Sammy needs to fess up to really what happened there. But that's just my opinion. That's out right now, and then on Monday we're putting out part two. And in part two, Ozzie says what he would like to see happen in the Sox-Cubs rivalry, which I don't want to say yet, but I think it'll definitely surprise some people what he'd like to see happen when the White Sox and Cubs take the field. And he also tells a great story about Lou Piniella. Remember back in 2010 when the White Sox played the Cubs and Zimbrano he got into a fight, a verbal argument.
Derek Lee.
Got with Derek Lee.
Yeah.
And Piniella had to separate him.
Zimbrano home.
Sent Zimbrano home after one inning. After the game, Lou Piniella sent a text to Ozzie Guillen. And you'll hear what that text said on the podcast. I got to tease that.
Look at Chuck. And where can you get this podcast, Chuck?
Wherever you can get podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. It's the White Sox Talk Podcast. And we also talk about Manny Machado. Ozzie has known Manny Machado since Manny was 8 years old.
Wow.
And he also revealed that Manny, when he played on this traveling team when he was a young kid, played for the White Sox. The White Sox was their team.
Too bad, like, you don't have some kind of rights when he wears the shirt, you know, when he's eight. Yeah. Too bad you don't get the rights to him later.
Yeah.
Ozzie was the right man for that 2005 team. Why do you think Ricky Renteria is the right man for this second year of the rebuild?
That's a good question. I think...
thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, that's the only good question you probably have today.
All month.
No, it's a really good question. I think Renteria is a great communicator. He's got a ton of energy. He works well uniting a clubhouse and connecting with people on multiple levels. And you can just see it. I mean, I remember we arrived in Glendale for spring training, and we weren't even asking players about Renteria. Players just bringing up his name. That's the kind of effect that he has had on them. And this perception that Renteria is, a rebuilding manager is, I think that's a fallacy. I mean, it did happen once with the Cubs, and if Joe Maddon, actually if Andrew Friedman hadn't been let go, or not let go, if he hadn't left Tampa for L.A., opening up this clause for Joe Maddon to leave, I think Rick Renteria would still be the manager of the Cubs. Yes, he's been hired here to do another rebuild, but I think he'll be here for the long haul. We're going to find out for sure when the White Sox have more talent in the next year or two here, and at that point, the expectations are for them to win. And if they don't win then, well, then maybe Rick Renteria, you know, might not be the guy for the future, but I fully believe that he will be that guy.
Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago, with us here on White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. What's your sense on Michael Kopech and Eloy Jimenez here, Chuck? I mean, let's say they're both pitching. Well, one's pitching great and Eloy's mashing balls. At what point do you think they would give in, perhaps, and bring him up? Because, look, I mean, Jimenez has only played, you know, 18 games at Double A, and Kopech hasn't pitched a ton in the minors either. But if they're both going well, like, what's your sense on that?
And I kind of feel, well, they're going to be very patient. But, you know, if Eloy is terrorizing Double A pitching and it goes up to Triple A and does the same, you know, at some point you can't just, you know, keep him down there, and you got to award him and bring him up. And you know, I can't put a timetable on it. I don't think the White Sox would have it either, but I think they're going to kind of take it, if not month by month, kind of week by week, and just see how things play out. It feels like Kopech would come up sooner just because he's in AAA, but you know, I'm not sure he could dominate AAA like I think Eloy Jimenez could if he gets to AAA. I mean, Jimenez might just go right straight up from AA. But
that's what Frank Thomas did.
Yeah, I just see them at some point this year. I mean, I can throw out, you know, June for Kopech or July or August for Jimenez, but we'll have to wait and see how the season progresses. I wouldn't be surprised if they came up on the earlier end and later end, but the Sox aren't trying to win anything this year. But it's baseball, crazy things happen, and you never know where the season might take you.
And Chuck, Wellington Castillo hit 20 bombs last year, 20 homers for Wellington Castillo. But more importantly, he led the majors in percentage of throwing guys out. What kind of impact? So with all these young pitchers, what kind of impact do you think Wellington Castillo has on the Sox?
Big impact. And actually, you know, the White Sox wanted to sign Castillo last offseason, but it didn't turn out. He's been on the radar for a while. And, you know, this is nothing against Omar Narvaez and Kevin Smith, but the Sox needed a veteran back there and a guy who's got some power, and they needed more offense from their catching position, no doubt. Zach Collins is probably the long-term answer, but you never know. And you had Wellington Castillo available, and give Rick Hahn credit and give Castillo credit for, you know, signing something early in the off season, because as we've all seen, it was not a good off season to be a free agent. So the Sox knew what they wanted. That was a big surprise. I was not expecting the White Sox to sign a 2-year contract for a catcher this year, but they did. I think also, you know, he might be the first domino, if you want to say, or the big stepping stone for this rebuild when I talk about bringing guys in, because, you know, Wellington, if things go right, maybe he could convince Manny Machado to come here. I don't know. They're good friends. I think it's probably a long shot that Machado ends up signing here, but he's a guy who is good friends with him. He revealed in the offseason that he's been FaceTiming with Machado and was kind of joking with him, saying, hey, why don't, you know, you can come here and join us. So we'll see what happens next off season. But I like his bat. I like his personality. I think he's going to work really well with these guys. That's really my answer there.
Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago. Chuck, last one. You expecting Carson Fulmer to be the fifth starter?
Well, he's going to start the season as the fifth starter. And Santiago is going to be in the bullpen. But, you know, we'll see. I don't. You know, it's tough to sometimes judge a pitcher by spring training numbers. Don Cooper said that his curveball wasn't really that effective in the air of Arizona. We'll see if that actually makes a big difference when he comes here. You know, I think if you're a guy like Clayton Kershaw, it doesn't matter where you're pitching. That curveball is going to be amazing. But if you don't, you know, if you're at the lower level, not low, or a step below maybe the altitude in Arizona can affect your curveball, you know, negatively down there. But we're going to see. And they're going to give him some rope, and we'll see how he plays as the fifth starter with the White Sox in April and May. He looked great in September. Maybe his struggles in spring training were, you know, just a mirage, so to speak. And but if he struggles, they've got some depth. They've got guys they can go to. They can bring Santiago back into the rotation. They can bring guys up from AAA. But I think they're giving some rope to Carson Fulmer and see what he can do when the season begins in the rotation.
Chuck, we'll see you at the ballpark. Great to talk to you.
Anytime.
Matt Davidson. Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Blues.
Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago, doing a great job covering the White Sox. Hey, there's a ticket plan for every fan. You can get access to every opponent with a partial ticket package or hand-pick your games with a 10-game package. Secure your seats for the 2018 season today. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. Matt Davidson after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN.
Ball and a strike. Davidson drills it. Left center field. No matter where it lands, it's over. It's gone. Davidson plays hero 3-1. See you later.
July 30th last year, White Sox 3, Indians 1. Matt Davidson, the bomb to win it. That is a sweet moment. And Matt Davidson about to join us here on 720 WGN. As we were mentioning, Harry, he's leading the team.
Leading all of baseball.
With RBIs at 19. He's leading the team with walks with 8. He's got 21 hits. He's got the most at-bats of anybody on the team in spring training with 63. So he's been out there hitting 333 on base percentage of 408. The OBP 603, you combine it all in, that's a 1,012 for the spring. That's a good spring, Matt Davidson. Thank you for taking time, and welcome to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. Have you been pleased with how the spring has gone for yourself? I'm assuming the answer to that is yes.
Yes, how did you know?
I am smart, Matt Davidson, I'm on it.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, it's been fun, you know, just kind of... looked at my season last year and decided I needed to probably swing at more strikes and not as many balls and make some better decisions. And that's kind of what I was trying to improve on and walk a little bit more. It happened this spring, so I just want to take it on into the year.
So that's not that easy to do, though, right? I mean, I think throughout your whole career, I'm like, I'd rather not strike out. I'd rather swing at strikes. What's been the change? Is it just maturing and getting better as you get older, or is there something more to it?
Yeah, I think that has a little bit to do with it. I think, you know, having confidence in what I did last year helps as well, too, at the highest level. But also, you know, I mean, just trying to be a little more efficient with my decisions and being disciplined in that you know, trusting myself. And I think it's just a culmination of everything, of a lot of things. But, you know, you're just trying to keep it in it, you keep it going during the year, and the consistency factor, and that's kind of, you know, I mean, the best guys they're not necessarily any better than anybody else in the league, but they just do it every single day, you know, and that's what makes them so good. So that's what we're all striving for, to be as consistent as possible, and that's what we're doing.
Well, you know, Matt, you talk about how you gained all this confidence with the season you had last year. What is it like to wake up in the morning and know that you're leading all of Major League Baseball in RBIs this spring?
You know, that's something, you know, spring training stats don't really,
not too shabby. I know a lot of guys would switch places with you, Matt.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, you love to have those numbers and, you know, but I try to keep myself disciplined in what I wanted to accomplish. And it was really kind of that on-base percentage and kind of wanted to go from there. And that was the number I was really looking for, that I wanted to be and high and get some more walks in. You know, I mean, that was really nice for sure. I definitely want to save those. I wouldn't mind taking those into the season. You know, they'll come just want to continue what I'm doing here in a couple days.
Well, you touched on the mental side of it. Like, the best in the game, they do it every single day. They've got their routine. They know how to handle failure. None of this is easy. It comes with experience, or maybe some people are just blessed that they have it right when they get to the big leagues. That's not normally the case. I mean, for you, How do you handle, okay, I just went over four, I struck out three times, and now I'm going to come back out and feel confident tomorrow? Like, how have you worked through just getting yourself to, okay, that just happened, that's in the past, I'm still good, I can do this, you know, that whole process? I think that's just, it fascinates me how you guys do that and be able to perform in front of people on TV, huge, you know, in the majors, 162 games, the whole part of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, really that is the name of the game, and that's also, you know, something in life, you know, I mean, you're always going to face challenges and stuff like that, you know. For me, I was kind of at rock bottom in Charlotte, and the fact that I came back from that really kind of has matured me and showed me that you can come back from failure like that. And me looking back, and man, I mean, after those 2 years, I mean, I thought my career was over for sure. And so, you know, 0-4 doesn't necessarily ruin my day too much anymore, you know. I mean, obviously I don't want to go 0-4, but you know, I think it's kind of getting rid of that that feeling of failure, you know, not holding on to it. You know, if you notice, you know, kids a lot, younger kids, the kids that haven't failed yet, you know, they don't even know the feeling of failure, and we only really know the feeling of failure because we've done it before. You know, and really a lot of that anxiousness and that, you know, I guess fear of failure really comes from past experiences. So, you know, if you could stay in the moment and focus on what you need to do and not kind of drag that failure with you, you know, I mean, I think that's a good way to start. But, you know, once you fail and have done that 0-4, you know what the 0-4 feels like. So when you're 0-3, you're like, oh, man, you don't even really realize it, but you know, the anxiousness and the, oh, I don't want to go 0-4. Why? Because, you know, I know what 0-4 feels like, and I don't want to do that, you know? And so you kind of already start thinking negatively like that. So really, I mean, it's easier said than done to forget about your failure, but you know, I mean, really failure comes from the past and it has nothing to do with the future, only if you let it.
Matt, rock bottom in Charlotte. That sounds like a country song.
What?
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't make it a country song, but I can't sing or play an instrument, so I can't do that.
But other than that, you could do the song.
I could write it, I guess, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I just to go back on and talk it through, I mean, you're talking about playing, you know, a full season in 199, then let's do it again, and you hit 203. I can understand how you would think, like, this is not going the way I thought it would be. Like, you're in the big leagues with Arizona, you come to the White Sox, it's a huge trade, everyone's excited to have you. I mean, I give you a ton of credit for battling through it and being where you're at. You deserve props. I mean, I don't know, was anybody at Charlotte who you want to perhaps give credit to sort of helped you along?
I mean, you know, Mike Gellinger, our minor league coordinator, I got with him after that 15th season, and he really turned my career around and the thought process and you know, changed my whole idea of hitting. And he, I really owe him, you know, a ton of credit for my swing and turning that around. And you know, I still work with him today, and I can't thank him enough.
Now,
I mean, other than that, there's countless people that, you know, can get you through that, you know, but as far as the swing, that it was him.
Now Matt, on Monday, it's a special day for all of us, but it's a special day for you. You're going to turn a whopping 27. Do you feel like you're an old man on this team full of youngsters?
I definitely do. You hit it on the head. I it's like, geez, 27. I mean, that's getting up there. So, you know, I might try to keep a clean-shaven look so I look a little bit younger, you know, blend in more.
Do you know what famous people you share a birthday with?
I have no idea, but let's hear it.
Dude, Steven Tyler, lead singer of Aerosmith.
Oh, that's legit. I like Aerosmith.
Right, how can you not? Kenny Chesney, he's another guy.
Oh, I love Kenny Chesney, too. Jeez, you keep it rolling.
Okay, well, Diana Ross.
Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, it's not, so far, it's a pretty good list, right?
Yeah, really good list.
Okay, Keira Knightley, she's very attractive, if you like that type of woman.
Yeah, I don't know what she looks like. I would have to Google her.
Yeah, I don't know what she looks like either, but now I'm curious. Go ahead, Harry.
You know Keira Knightley? Keira Knightley is in all those, like, period pieces. Like she's in all those, you know, London, you know, 800 years ago when women were different, you know, than they are now. Leslie Mann, who's, Leslie Mann is, she's, come on, her husband is the director, Judd Apatow.
Okay.
She's in all those movies. She's in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
She's amazing, Matt. You share a birthday with her.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we need to change your walk-up song. So what's your walk-up song going to be heading into the season? Because maybe we take an Aerosmith or a Kenny Chesney song.
True. Right now, it's going to be the same one I used last year. Imagine Dragons, Believer is the song name.
That's a good song. I know that.
Yeah, so... I just play it right from the start, so the fans kind of were starting to sing along at the end of the year, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That's when you know that you're on the way, Matt. When people are getting into your walk-up song, that's a big moment. Hold on a second here, because we're going personal here. So if you're willing, you have a brother, Kevin, correct?
Yes, I do.
Is that your only brother, or is there more?
I got a younger sister as well.
What's her name? If I can.
Nicole.
Okay, now your kids are named Brixton and Wake, correct?
Yes.
So you got Nicole, Kevin, Matt. That's pretty standard, right? Now we got a Brixton and we got a Wake. I'm guessing that your wife named the kids. Am I correct, or did you go off the board here? Because this is a whole new level going on here.
All right, yeah. Well, first, my daughter, Brixton, was born first, and we had a couple names in mind, but really didn't have any idea. Even like the last week going into her being born. But I was driving and on Sirius XM on the radio or whatever, a band, it was Brixton. It's a band, I guess. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool name, Brixton. And my wife ended up putting a B on it, Brixton. So that's how we got Brix. We call her Brixie.
Oh, great name. Love Brixie.
Yeah, Brixie's perfect. And then Wake actually is a little bit better of a story. When I was, this goes way back. When I was 15, I was playing with Team USA out in North Carolina, and we would drive to the park at Cary there on a bus every day. And for whatever reason, there's a park called Wake Memorial Park that we'd go by all the time. For some reason, 15, I was like, I'm going to name my son that one day. So that was that was Wake for you.
Wow. Matt? I haven't, you know, I've interviewed a couple times as reporters, but I've never like sat down. You're like officially way cooler than anybody's going here. I mean, you're listening to music, you're picking names, your wife's adding on. We've got Fields, we've got. I love what you're doing.
I'm just glad you weren't doing the team in Wisconsin, because you might have been stopping at Bong Recreational Park.
Harry,
that wouldn't have been good for anybody. Matt.
Yeah, I know, right? You wouldn't at a 15 years old. You know, you don't. The mind hasn't quite matured yet.
Right, but Matt, you had 414 trips to the dish last year. You're probably going to get 500 ABs. This season, do you care how much you play third base, or are you happy to be the DH every game?
I think we all want to play the position. I definitely would like to do that, but I'll tell you what, man, this team is pretty special, and we got a lot of young guys and a lot of guys that could play a lot of positions, and we play hard, so I'm just extremely blessed and honored to be on this team. You know, that a team that, you know, kept me on the roster after those 2 years in Charlotte, that I'm just pumped to get those 500 bats. You know, I would like to play in the field, you know, and I think it will happen at some point, but I'm fine with DHing, and, you know, I just got to try to stay out of the food room when I'm DH.
have you talked to other guys that have been, like, primarily a DH about the different approach? Because, I mean, it's got to be a whole different mantra coming to the game, you know, not going out every inning. You're just going to get an at bat like every three innings. Have you talked to, you know, Frank Thomas or other guys that have been just a DH?
Yeah, a little bit, you know, like Frank and then Jim Thome as well.
Right. Harold.
You know, and it's really, you got to just find a routine that gets you locked in. And, you know, DHing, I'll tell you what, DHing is really easy when, everything's going good. When you're getting hits and, you know, you're having a good week and all that stuff. But it could get challenging when you're struggling, because you could definitely, like, dive in the video room. You could be hitting too much. all that stuff, you know, you could really kind of get inside your head because you have so much time. You know, you don't have anything like defense, like, distracting you, and you actually have a task to do, you know, and to focus. So that's the biggest thing I learned last year, was when, you know, it's going rough, you know, not to dig deeper and just kind of, you know, find something to figure out to do. But it's definitely tough at times. You know, I try to, you know, do a little bit of running and stretching and stay on, you know, get my body, keep it warm. But other than that, you know, I have my, like, little pre-hitting routine, like, right before I'm going to get up, you know, like, the inning before. But other than that, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I would think it'd be hard, and I like that you just named that. I think that's what I would do here. I'd get a little, do a little downward dog, get a little stretch going on here, get just a little calming, flexibility, something. I have no idea what I'm talking about here, Matt, but, you know, I'm an outstanding 12-inch softball player.
Oh, my God.
By that, I mean average.
I believed you, so whatever downward dog is, you know, but it sounds legit.
No yoga? You don't do the yoga?
No, I know. I do yoga. Okay. Come on. My wife shops at Lululemon.
That's expensive gear right there.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. Matt, as you go here, you know, who knows what's going to happen this year, but it sounds like you guys are super optimistic that you're going to surprise and be right in there. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, we want to win, and ultimately, in the future, we're going to win. You know, as we progress and, you know, we add players or this or that, but why not start now with that mindset? And, you know, nobody wants to go to the field expecting to lose, and that's definitely what we're not doing. We're getting ready to prepare and, you know, to beat these teams, and that's all you can do, really. You know, you can just do what you can control, and I think we'll be I think it's going to create the right atmosphere and the right mindset for the future here on the south side.
Boy, you just hit it. Don't worry about what you can't control. Right?
Yeah. Easier said than done, but, you know, I mean, the most successful people in anything and successful teams, they accomplish their game, you know, and their goals, and it takes care of itself. You know, I mean, when you're worrying about other things, you know, it's taken away from what you can do.
Well, you know, you got a lot of fans up here. You know what they are? They're believers.
I love it.
Matt, great to talk to you. Best of luck this year. We can't wait to see you at Guaranteed Rate Field. Hope you have your best season yet, man, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you during the season.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
It was our pleasure. Matt Davidson.
Thanks, Matt. Terrific.
Your DH, your third baseman, I'd hire him to name your kids, really, at the end of the day. Come on. The wife added the B.
What if Wendy had done that with Lucy? She'd be Belusi.
That would not be good for Belusi.
Yeah, or Reggie. Better, he'd be Bereggi.
I think you did better with Lucy and Reggie. All right.
Of course, what if Mr. Springsteen just wanted to call him Roos, and the wife said, hey, let's put a B in front of it.
White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's White Sox Weekly. Question for you that we'd love to get answers on the text line, 312-981-7200. It's our Fans Corner question of the week, sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. All right, here it is for you. August 2nd, 1990. Why is that day incredibly special in White Sox history? And perhaps could be duplicated August 2nd, 2018. 312-981-7200. August 2nd, 1990, and maybe it could be a big day, August 2nd, 2018. That's the Fans Corner question, sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com. After 5 o'clock, Joel Goldberg covers the Royals. We'll preview Kansas City and the opener right after the 5 o'clock news. This is White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.